that's good singing right there. Amen. I'm telling you what, that ought to make a backslidden Baptist want to run a lap this morning. Amen. That is good stuff. I don't know if y'all heard that door slam a while ago, but that was the sound of the demons of hell running out of here. So, it is good to be in the house of God. My name is Richard Brown. For those of you who are in the traditional service each week, I'm not ever over here. I'm over in the Family Life Center. And so for some of you, I may need to reintroduce myself. I haven't been over here in a long time. But I am so excited to be with you this morning. Looking forward to worshiping with you today as we examine the scriptures. And as we get ready to ponder the text this morning, would you open your Bible with me to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. As you're turning there, I want to say a special word of thanks to all of our students and our student leaders. It was my joy this morning to go teach a Sunday school lesson with our students, and I thoroughly enjoyed the experience hanging out with all of our students this morning. And listen, if you're the parent of one of our students, you ought to be proud of your student. And I am so thankful that they have chosen to be here versus anywhere else in all the world. They have chosen to be in the house of God. And that just warms my heart. And we have a special group of kids that I am so proud of, and I can't wait to see what God is going to do in their lives. Looking at Luke chapter 9, verse 23, just one single passage of scripture, I want to share it with you. We'll pray, and then we will dive into our text. Jesus is speaking here, and in verse 23, he said, "And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." This morning, we're going to be pondering the thought of the call of the cross. The cross is calling today, and it commands a response. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning that we can come and sing praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, we thank you this morning for the songs that we have sung today. We thank you, Jesus, that you are still in the life-transforming business today. We worship you and we exalt you, and it's our heart's desire today to make much of you today. And we ask, Lord, for a fresh invasion of your Spirit in this place. And over in the Family Life Center, Lord, I pray for an unusual move of God today. May lives be changed. And we'll thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. In 1596, 26 Japanese Christians were arrested in Kyoto, Japan, for following Jesus Christ. 3 months later, they were tried, they were found guilty, and they were sentenced to die. The mode of their execution was the same as Jesus Christ, crucifixion. They were escorted to a place where 26 crudely made crosses stood. One officer took aside convicted Ibaraki Kuhn and urged him to renounce his faith in Jesus to save his young life. Looking the official in the eye, Kuhn said confidently, "Sir, it would be far better if you yourself would become a Christian. Then you could go to heaven with me." The speechless officer stared, startled by the young man's profound faith. And finally, Ibaraki Kuhn broke the silence and asked, "Sir, which cross is mine?" The bewildered officer pointed to the smallest of the 26 crosses. Young Kuhn ran to his cross. He knelt before it. He kissed it. And he embraced it. On November the 23rd, 1596, Ibaraki Kuhn, 12 years old, bravely accepted his martyrdom as a committed follower of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a penetrating question this morning. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you a disciple of Jesus? You see, a disciple is a student enrolled in the school of Jesus. The moment you trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've repented of your sins and you placed your faith and trust in Christ, you are enrolled in the school of Jesus. You cannot separate true salvation and true discipleship. The earliest believers did not call themselves Christians. You know what they called themselves? They called themselves disciples. The word Christian is only used 3 times in the whole Bible. The word disciple is used 281 times in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, we find that believers were first called Christians at Antioch. They were called that by people outside the community of faith. And they used the term in a means of shaming these Christians. So today, we more often than not describe ourselves as Christians rather than disciples. There's nothing wrong with that. But by using the word Christian today, we have lost clarity of what it means to be a follower of Jesus or a disciple. Today in American culture, we attach the word Christian to almost anything that is remotely religious. You know, our use of the word Christian today obscures the fact that a lot of people who call themselves Christians are not actually disciples. And they are not even Christian. Listen, joining a church, being baptized, and even speaking Christianese does not make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is, as we described earlier, acknowledging your sin and confessing your sins to the Lord Jesus, asking for His forgiveness, and believing on His death, burial, and resurrection on your behalf for the forgiveness of your sins. And when you do that, you are born again. But you see, friends, I want you to understand that early believers were called Christians because they were disciples of Jesus. Jesus is not interested in giving away fire insurance where we sign a cute little card at church in hopes of missing an unpleasant afterlife. An authentic Christian is a disciple who follows Christ. He or she is a person who is committed completely to Christ as both Lord and Savior, and one who desires to please God daily and not just every once in a while. Christian discipleship, as taught in the Bible, is a full commitment of one's life to Christ with nothing deliberately held back. The disciple's conduct is patterned after that of his or her master. The student of Jesus has no agenda except the agenda of his teacher, Jesus Christ. So today, Jesus bids you come and follow him. Listen to me. Jesus is calling you, sir. He's calling you, ma'am. He's calling you, young person. Jesus is calling. And it's up to you to determine whether you will follow. But I must warn you that to follow Jesus means we must take up our cross. The call of Christ will always include the call of the cross. So I want us this morning to talk about the call of the cross. And as we examine this text, there's 5 observations that I want you to see this morning. First, I want you to see the clear call of the cross. Notice particularly the words, "And he," Jesus, "said to them all," all, A-L-L. The question is, who are the all he's speaking of? Well, as you examine the context here, you see earlier Jesus had just fed 5,000 people, and probably many more than that. because there were women and children present as well. So there could have been as many as 20,000 people that Jesus fed. But the context changes, and it tells us that Jesus met with his disciples for prayer. So who was Jesus speaking of here? The ALL, who were they? The answer is yes. He was speaking to the crowds. He was speaking to his disciples. And guess what? He's speaking to you and to me. He's speaking to all of us today. And he is extending to you and to me a clear call to follow him. Jesus was always clear regarding his call. It's as clear today as it was then. The call has not changed. The requirements for discipleship have not changed. It's important for us to notice that Jesus never recruits followers under false pretenses. Throughout the New Testament, you will find Jesus dealing openly and honestly with people that came to him. You may remember the rich young ruler. Jesus called his bluff and caused the young man to go away from Christ. Jesus would not compromise for the sake of popularity. And by the way, Jesus doesn't need our popularity. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. But he made sure that everyone understood the requirements for following him, and he refused to change those requirements for anybody. The call of the cross is a clear call. And make no mistake this morning that he is calling you and me to follow him, which demands radical change on our part. The clear call of the cross. But secondly, I want you to see the conditional call of the cross. In verse 23, Jesus says, if. What Jesus wants us to see here is that there are conditions attached to discipleship. Listen, you don't become a disciple just because you call yourself one. But there are characteristics of a true disciple. And there are many today who call themselves disciples of Jesus, yet they will not accept his cross. They want the crown without the cross. But Jesus said in Luke 14, 27, listen, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I didn't make that up. That's the words of the Lord Jesus himself. He determines who his disciples are and who are not. Jesus is telling us that one of the main conditions of true discipleship is bearing one's cross. Listen, my friend, no cross, no crown. No cross, no crown. The cross life is sorely missing in many churches today. Messages like this are not popular. But it is essential. The mandate of God is that we are to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. The conditional call of the cross. But there's a third thing I want you to see this morning, and that is the costly call of the cross. Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, listen, he must deny himself. He must deny himself. Listen, Christ is looking for those who are willing to abandon all in pursuit of him. Discipleship is costly. It's costly. I want you to understand that salvation is free, but it's not cheap. Salvation is free, but it will cost you your life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once stated that when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Listen, we have made the call of Christ today much too easy. We have watered down the requirements of following Christ. And many people think just because they attend church, they fill out a card, they go through the motions of Christianity, that they are authentic disciples, when that is just not true. Just not true. Listen, we've made the call of Christ too easy. Bonhoeffer goes on to speak of cheap grace. Allow me to read a paragraph from his book, The Cost of Discipleship. Listen to this. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, and communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, and grace without Jesus Christ. You know, we hear a lot today of an easy believism, and it's run rampant in our churches today. And it sounds something like this. Oh, if you'll just believe in Jesus, just believe in Jesus. Know that He loves you. Believe in Him and pray this little prayer and everything will be okay. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's much more than that. You see, discipleship demands sacrifice. It demands repentance. Discipleship, friends, listen, discipleship is not a program at church. It is not an endless series of Bible studies that we attend. Listen, discipleship is a way of life. It's a way of life. It is a costly way of life. And my friends, listen, there's a great need to understand the cost of discipleship, especially in our day and time. As our days grow darker and darker, we better buckle up and be prepared to take a stand for Christ. You know, it could be that you've bought into a bargain religion that is absolutely bankrupt. A religion that demands no commitment, no sacrifice, no cost. You see, friends, that kind of religion is foreign to the Bible. So listen, if for you the Christian life is all about warm fuzzies, if it's all about feeling good and having everything go your way, having your best life now, then you're not going to like being a disciple, because that's just not how it is. Listen, being a disciple of Jesus is the most joyful, fulfilling, and exciting life there is. Can I get a witness? But listen to me, but it can also be the most challenging life there is as well. It's a life lived out under the Lordship of Christ. Jesus gave us this promise in John 16, 33. Listen to me. In this world, you will have trouble. Did you hear me? In this world, you will have trouble. But he goes on to say, but take heart. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Aren't you glad? Jesus has overcome the world, regardless of how crazy things become in our country and in our world today. Jesus is still on the throne. Amidst all the darkness around us, there still remains a God in heaven who has never surrendered his sovereignty. Jesus is still on the throne. He is Lord. You know, I'm learning that true discipleship involves at least four essential ingredients, and this is the nitty-gritty of what I want to share with you today. True discipleship involves four things. First of all, servanthood. Servanthood. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verses 26 and 27, listen, whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. So listen, the only way to servanthood is through the cross of Christ. You'll never be a servant without a cross. Until we have died to self, there is no true servanthood. None. So why is it that we have to beg and plea for workers in our churches? Why is it we have to beg people to come to church anymore? You know, I'm convinced that it's because of one word, I. And listen, when we put ourselves ahead of Christ, our churches suffer and evangelism suffers. When I is on the throne of our hearts, bad things happen. But when we dethrone self and we enthrone the Lord Jesus Christ, He is able to do exceedingly great things through us as we are yielded to Him. Servanthood. But secondly, I want to submit to you another ingredient. That is stewardship. Stewardship. Listen, God is the owner of everything. God is the owner of everything. Why? It's because He created it all. God created everything. And because He is the creator, then He owns the title deed to everything in the whole universe. You and I, what we boast we have today, we don't own anything. We're merely stewards of what He's entrusted to us. Listen, your life belongs to God. Listen, you don't just share your time and your talents with God. He shares them with you. He owns you and everything about you. When you came to Christ, you came under new management. A true disciple of Jesus understands that one day he or she will stand before the Master, the Lord Jesus, to give an accounting of what they've done with what was entrusted to them in this life. Everything, everything. We will give an accounting for it because Jesus is the owner. You and I are merely the stewards. That's the whole message of the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. We would all do well to study that text carefully because it does point to a day when we will stand before Christ to be evaluated for our stewardship of this life and everything about it. Stewardship. But thirdly, there is sacrifice. Sacrifice. You know, I don't know how in the world we have arrived at the notion in America that following Jesus does not involve sacrifice. We like a Jesus that does not require us to give up everything and follow Him. You know, we have so Americanized the gospel of Jesus that I'm not even sure the Apostle Paul would recognize it today were he among us. You know, Jesus teaches us to count the cost of following Him. Later in Luke chapter 9, we find where Jesus encountered three men, and He made clear to them the cost of following Him. In verse 57 of Luke 9, the text says, "Someone said to Jesus, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head.'" So here's the question. Are you willing to become homeless for Jesus? Now, to be clear here, Jesus is not telling us that the demand of discipleship requires that we go sell our homes and become homeless. That's not what He's saying. But the point is this: would you be willing to do so if that's what it took to follow Him? In verse 59, the text says, "And he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father.' But Jesus said to him, 'Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God.'" So we're not to attend our own father's funeral? Is that what Jesus is saying? What He's saying here, would you be willing to do that if that's what it took to follow Christ? Verse 61, another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." But Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." So let's add all this up this morning, shall we? Become homeless, let someone else bury your father, and don't say goodbye to your family. Would you agree those are all costly sacrifices? Indeed so. But the question is this: is Jesus worth it? Is Jesus worth it? And that is a question only you can answer in the courtroom of your own heart. Is Jesus worth it? Now, obviously, he's not calling us to go today and do all of these things, but the point is this: would you be willing to sacrifice these things to follow hard after me? Would you be willing to make the life adjustments to say, yes, Lord, I will follow you? You see, these other guys we read about were just giving Jesus lip service. That's not hard to do that, amen? We can give Jesus lip service every week. But Jesus will call your bluff, and that's exactly what he did here. He said, if you're going to follow me, it's going to cost you something. Jim Elliot was an American missionary to Ecuador. He went to share the gospel with the Ayuka Indians, and he was martyred there back in 1958. But before his death, he penned these words that are so famous today, and perhaps you know them by heart. Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Listen, Jesus must take precedence over your career. He must take precedence over your relationships. Back in 2017, I had the opportunity to travel to Nepal. Myself and a few others were invited to come there and spend a week with pastors in Nepal to equip them for disciple making. And so I had my notes all prepared, went to Nepal, met with these leaders, and listening to the stories of these men who gathered with us that day. Some of them walked for 4 days just to be part of this meeting. They walked. And to hear their stories of suffering because of Christ. There was one gentleman there who was a pastor of a small flock that was beaten. His face was smashed at the butt end of an AK-47. It broke his jaw and left him unable to speak clearly. But his heart's passion was to go into China and to proclaim the excellencies of Christ to the lost Chinese. There were two young ladies there who came. They were Buddhists earlier in life. But they came to faith in Jesus Christ, and the Lord radically changed them. And as a result of their faith in Christ, their family disowned them. And they became homeless. Yet they served the Lord. And on, stories like that were shared. And then we entered into a time of worship. Listen to me. We entered into a time of worship. And I watched these same people who shared these horrific stories of suffering for the cause of Christ. I watched them as they raised their hands in praise to Christ, and they worshiped him, they glorified him, they honored him. Tears were flowing down their faces and smiling as they worshiped the Lord. I'm telling you, their discipleship was real. I felt like I needed to sit down and let them teach me about discipleship. What these people taught me was that there is a price to pay to follow Christ. And it could cost you your life. But there's a final ingredient I want to share with you today, and that is suffering. Suffering. In Philippians 3, verse 10, Paul made an incredible statement when he wrote, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." So Paul not only desired the joy of resurrection power, but he was willing to share the fellowship of Christ's suffering. What about you? What about me? Are you sharing in the fellowship of Christ's suffering? Today we need men of the cross. with a message of the cross, bearing the marks of the cross. Before he was burned at the stake for his refusal to renounce Christ on February 23rd, 155 AD, Polycarp famously said these words before his death. Listen, 86 years have I served Christ, nor has he ever done me any harm. How then could I blaspheme my King who saved me? I bless the Lord for deigning me worthy of this day and this hour that I may be among thy martyrs and drink the cup of my Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the true marks of an authentic believer, an authentic disciple of Jesus, are not stars, but scars. Paul said, I bear in my body the brand marks of Jesus Christ. But fourthly, this morning, I want you to see the continual call of the cross. The continual call of the cross. Verse 23, Jesus uses the word daily. We're to daily take up our cross. Listen, discipleship is a daily cross walk. Jesus said if we're to be his disciples, we're to take up our cross daily. It is a daily process of becoming more like Jesus every day. Listen, discipleship speaks of consistency. There's no early discharge in this army. There's no early retirement. Discipleship requires carrying your cross when things go well. Discipleship requires carrying your cross when things go wrong. Jesus is Lord in the good times, and Jesus is still Lord in the bad. He is Lord. One thing is for sure. Listen and write this down. The disciple will find a cross waiting for him every day of his life. Every day. And you and I must choose whether we will take it up and follow the Master. You see, friends, the cross is that which keeps a man firmly planted to the narrow way. And as our country is falling apart at the seams, it's so vitally important today more than ever that we cling to the cross of Christ and never lose sight of the sacrifice Christ made for you and for me. And in obedience, we take up our cross and we follow after him. The cross is an anchor for the soul. The cross is our compass. It is what makes life meaningful. The cross is the only way for us to be approved by God. The continual call of the cross. But lastly, I want you to see the conquering call of the cross. Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. Listen, we're to follow Jesus, not some religion, not some TV preacher, not the latest fads and styles that come down the cultural pipeline in our churches. We're to follow Christ. He said, follow me. Why? Because when we follow Jesus, listen, we are following the one who knows the way to victory. Amen? Jesus knows the way. Yes, the path may sometimes be hard. Jesus never said that following him would be easy. Don't listen to these health and wealth preachers. Jesus said, follow me. Listen, the weight of the cross may seem too heavy at times. The splinters from the cross might sometimes wound us, but one thing is for certain, the way of the cross leads home. And we are certain. We are certain of victory because we are closely following the victorious Savior. Jesus promised to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. He will never leave you there, sir, ma'am, young person. He's not going to leave you there. He's going to lead you through to green pastures beside quiet waters, because he is the faithful shepherd. Just trust him. Take up your cross and follow him. Listen. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You know, I've concluded that the reason so many are reluctant to walk the cross life today is because they have a wrong concept of the cross. They look at the cross as a symbol of shame and weakness. They cringe at the thought of the cross in the 21st century. They're embarrassed by it. But I want you to know something, friend. The cross is not a symbol of shame. It is a symbol of glory. It is a symbol of victory in Christ. Paul wrote in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. This morning when I spoke with our students, I shared with them briefly my life story. When I was 21 years old, I surrendered my life to the Lordship of Christ. I had become a believer when I was 13 and followed the Lord. Until I got into high school, my eyes began to wander, my heart began to wander, and my devotion and love for Christ waned. I didn't take up my cross daily and follow Jesus. And as a result, I paid the consequences. Listen, following Jesus has consequences, but disobedience has far greater consequences. But when I was 21, I was in my bedroom. My world was turned upside down through some cataclysmic events in my life. I was a broken person. So I got on my knees and I asked the Lord to forgive me of my rebellion. I asked him to resume his rightful place on the throne of my heart. And I will serve him the rest of my life as he sees fit to use me. I got up from that commitment and I went and shared with my parents the commitment that I had just made. My mother, who was dying of cancer at the time, told me, Richard, you need to follow through on that commitment. 2 weeks later, I'm in Lynchburg, Virginia at Liberty Baptist College, now Liberty University, preparing myself for ministry. Friends, I'm here to tell you that when you take up your cross and follow, many times it calls for an immediate response. But you know, I look back over my life today, nearly 40 years after that experience, I have no regrets. My master has led me safely all the way, and he will for you as well. That evening in my bedroom, I'll never forget pondering the words of that grand old hymn, "Wherever he leads, I'll go." And the third verse of that grand old stanza goes this way: it may be through the shadows dim or o'er the stormy sea, I'll take my cross and follow him wherever he leadeth me. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Church, this morning, listen. The cross of Christ is calling you and is awaiting your response. Let's pray together. Father, in this time of invitation, I pray that you will help every man, woman, boy, and girl to do today what they'll be glad they've done when they stand in your presence one day. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. Church, we're going to have a time of invitation this morning, both here and in the Family Life Center. Brother Ted and I will be up here at the front to receive anyone who desires to make a commitment. Over in the Family Life Center, Brother Donnie Payne will be there to receive those who wish to come and solidify a commitment to Christ today. It may be that you do not wish to speak to any of us, but you just want to come and reaffirm your commitment to Christ. I want to encourage you to refamiliarize yourself with the altar of God. And you're welcome to come and just kneel before the Lord and reaffirm your faith and your commitment to Jesus today. You know, it could be that you're here and you're not a believer. Maybe you thought you were. Maybe you're a church member. But there's never been a time in your life where you have surrendered your life to the Lordship of Christ. You've never repented of your sins and believed upon His death and resurrection on your behalf. Well, if that describes you, we invite you to come. We'll be glad to sit down with you and help you understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Brother Ted and I will be out in the lobby later, and you're welcome to come speak to us out there and ask any questions that you may have about this matter of following Jesus. But listen, I want you to understand this morning, this is not my invitation. This is an invitation of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God simply says, come, come. From wherever you are, how messed up you are, how broken you are, doesn't matter. The Spirit of God says, come. Drink of the waters of life freely. And He will replenish your parched soul. Listen, Jesus awaits you today. And if you're a believer here today, He awaits your response to take up your cross and follow Him. What will you do? Let's stand together as we sing.